What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I'm your host, Krista Salmons, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Cobb. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
Good to be back. Much happier than last time, or two times ago, whenever we recorded. Risen from the dead.
Insane.
I can't believe we are here in this moment, and we can both talk about New York playoff hockey. They both made it. One's not a surprise, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, if you had asked me a month ago if the Islanders were making the playoffs, like, the day after the St. Patrick's Day game, I was like, there's not a fucking chance they're making the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know when the episode was, but we declared them dead. Like, it was – let me see if I can pull up exactly what episode it was. But we declared them dead. I mean, it was over. It might have been March 28th. The episode was called The Highs and Lows, and it says, in this episode – we pay homage to the Rangers banner season and the Islanders season to forget. That was March 28th, and now we are on April 18th.
Fucking life comes at you fast, man.
I cannot believe it. But, yeah, man, I'm hyped. Both teams in the playoffs, you know. Maybe if some things go right, we get a round two matchup. We didn't get the round one matchup that we were talking about on Saturday when you and I were in the city watching the game. But, you know, we'll take it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a win for, I guess, New York hockey that both teams made it. It's very questionable if we'll see that round two matchup. but, you know, here's to optimism.
Hey, if you don't have hope, you got nothing. So might as well hope for the best, honestly. It would hurt less if we got bounced by the Rangers in the second round than the first round. So, you know, we'll hope for the best. But it's just good to be a part of it regardless, you know.
Yeah.
It's just nice to be here.
There you go. Touched on it briefly, but we watched the – we were live in New York.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Canuck if you're, looking for a hockey bar. They're on 22nd and 9th.
Chelsea.
Yeah, really nice spot, spacious, hockey memorabilia out their ass.
Gotta love it.
They had a lot of like cool shit there.
A lot of signed jerseys, a lot of a few sticks on the wall. I think it was a cool spot.
Yeah, it was very, very cool spot. Ton of TVs, great selection of beers. Overall, it was a fun experience. It was a good game too.
Great game.
Yeah, I mean, you got
a lot of Ranger fans in the bar, by the way. A
lot of Ranger fans.
I think it was probably like, how I don't know, if you estimate like 50 people there, it was probably more than that, but say you do baseline, like, or we'll do like, say if you go like out of 100, if you put 100 people in the bar, I'd say maybe like 6 were Islander fans and 2 of them were myself and our buddy Josh. So
yeah, I was gonna say, if there was 100 people in that bar, I would say like 95 of them were probably Rangers fans.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
or just fans of hockey, period.
No, nobody was like an asshole though, so that was
no,
a plus.
Not at all. That was like the one really, really like nice thing, is that no one was getting in your face or like freaking out all that much. Like it was a very like
nice,
chill environment. Like Rangers fans were just happy to cheer on goals. And for like the win, but outside of that, there was no like hostility, animosity. So like that was really nice to see, because like that can kind of go a little overboard sometimes, and it's like, it's almost like cringe to see like fan bases like at each other's throats like that.
I was good old fashioned. It's what you expect from a Canadian bar, you know, nice, kind Canadian folk. I mean, obviously they're not Canadian people there, but you know, We're gonna channel the inner Canada in that bar and just be nice.
I mean, yeah, someone brought their kid. Like there was a literal infant child.
Infant in a Rangers jersey. I want to punch him. No, I'm kidding. It was actually kind of adorable. He was just rocking his little jersey. It was kind of sick.
That was a fun game. Not really much to like. It's the only
game the Islanders lost in the last 9 games. They ended the season 8-0-1, and that was the only game they lost. Yeah.
And you had predicted it once the shootout started. You're like, Islanders just lost this game as soon as the shootout started.
Sorokin wasn't winning that shootout. I mean, they didn't score anyway. The post by Palmieri and the shootout hurt, but yeah, no shot they're winning that game.
So yeah, I mean, like, I guess like before we dive into, I guess, deeper with like giving the Islanders their flowers. Most wins in franchise history, President's Trophy.
Yeah.
Rangers had a hell of a regular season. It doesn't stop there, and the regular season doesn't matter. This, I don't want the season to be for naught. But
the President's Trophy curse.
Yeah. Well, like there, so there's two sides to that coin. I saw a stat that said, like every team that has won the President's Trophy within 2 years of winning it, whether it's the year they win it or 2 years after, they do make a Stanley Cup final.
Fair.
So I want to say that I like the odds. I saw a quote today that's it was a Panarin quote from I don't know who got it, but they essentially asked him, you know, what are their postseason aspirations? And you know, he said for him it's cup or bust, which
yeah, makes sense.
It kind of is, because if you don't do it this season, which is probably like the best season you're going to, the best chance you have to do it is this year, especially with like how I don't want to say the East was weak, but it's definitely not as strong as the West is this year.
Yeah, it's not the best Eastern Conference. I mean, there's really, besides the Rangers, like, well, I mean, the Hurricanes are okay, but like the one team that you're really afraid of out of the East besides the Rangers is Florida. I think it's about it.
Yeah, and I mean, PK Subban was brave for saying this, but he said his three teams that he could see coming out of the East were the Rangers, Florida, and the Hurricanes. And I'm like, oh, cool. So the three best teams the entire
Bold
year.
Take there.
What insight? What analytical insight you put in there?
He should have came out and said the Islanders, Capitals, and Maple Leafs. And
yeah, really. Like what? Yeah. What a fucking
like,
jack
yes.
But. Yeah, I think like if there is a year for the Rangers to make a final, it's this year. Just because I think if they get out of the first round, which I think everyone is predicting they should, they match up well against both the Islanders and the Hurricanes. Obviously, the Islanders is
got your number.
Is
we
a
have
preferred,
your number.
Is a more
watch
preferred
out
match. But the Hurricanes
we are on the march to another Eastern Conference final. You're in our way.
The Hurricanes, the Rangers have matched up well against them. If the Rangers do play the Hurricanes in the second round, that's going seven games, and it's probably going to be some of the most low scoring games in the playoffs. It'll probably be like 1-0, 2-0, 2-1 wins, both ways. Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, if this team can consecutively beat the Hurricanes and then hypothetically the Panthers and they get to the cup final, I really like their chances against anyone out of the West, because the West is the stronger division. It's going to be a dogfight. I think whoever comes out of the Western Conference final, it's going to be like the Panthers last year, where they're just tired. They are beat up.
Could be.
Yeah, we'll see. But enough about that. Great season all around for the Rangers. I really, really enjoyed it. But
all highs. I mean, there's really not a. I mean,
there really wasn't any lows.
One low with like Shesterkin.
Outside of like a really shitty January, Shesterkin having a bad first half of the season. And I guess like Mika not showing up until like now, which is like fine that he's turning it on now. overall, like a really, really like just good season. There was just a lot to be happy about, and also the Hedl injury.
That's true.
Outside of that, I mean, like
55 wins and 120 point score in Panarin, like it's really never a moment where you're like, oh, the Rangers like kind of stink. Like it just never happened once since October, which is impressive.
No, I mean, you had two 30 goal scorers in Panarin and Kreider. I mean, Panarin was just one shy of 50. Kreider was one shy of 40. Let me pull it up now. This is just goals. Yeah. God damn it. I want it. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Laf had 28. Zibanejad had 26. Trocheck had 25. And then it kind of falls off after that. So, I mean, like, it was just overall, it was really, really good season. But,
Yeah,
happy for the playoffs to be starting, but I'll throw it over to you just because, like, there's way more to talk about with the Islanders and just.
I just have one more thing about the Rangers, really quick. Sorry, I don't mean to. I saw Hedo was practicing with a regular jersey.
He did that last week too.
Insane. Yeah, I mean, it'd be insane. I don't know if I would bring him back. I mean, but I, all jokes aside, could you imagine he comes back and if he scores a goal, I mean, that would obviously pump up everybody for the Rangers' sake. But like, you imagine Tom Wilson hits him. That might cause World War III.
I think you're seeing the Trouba Trent Frederick incident again, but not an accident. He's taking a shot at Wilson's face.
I mean, that's a Caps are so physical. I mean, that's tough. I don't know. I wouldn't bring. I can't believe Hedo's practicing. I mean, I guess if he's healthy, he's healthy. But man, take a couple months off, brother.
I don't see him playing against the Caps. I almost see it as kind of almost like a Stamkos type thing. They might just give him a shot at one game. The series in which he could probably play the most minutes would be against the Hurricanes, who aren't as physical as a team. They definitely, in my opinion, lean more skill than physicality. They have a lot of like hard hit. They have a lot of guys who can throw hits.
They're great. They're great defensively. They're not gonna kill you with the body, but their sticks are just unbelievable.
Yeah. I wouldn't play Hedo against the Caps. I wouldn't play him against the scumbag Panthers.
It'll be interesting though.
It would be very, very interesting.
But that was the only thing I had about the Rangers that I thought was interesting. But yeah, great, great season. Happy for you that you had a nice, easy season. It was good.
Nice and just enjoyed all the wins. 55 is just insane. I mean, that's so fun.
It is. And it's like, they're not going to do it again. So, I mean, like you really want to see him win it all, because if you do it this season, yeah. Some people want to see this team go all the way. Especially after they had this type of season, because they're not going to, like, this is not going to happen again next year. Just getting out ahead of it. Like, this is not happening again next season. Where everything just clicks the way it did. So enjoy it while it lasts. And hopefully in June, when we're talking about the end of the season, it's positive.
For one of us, I don't know, but that's good. But yeah, just to talk about the Islanders, I mean, I can't believe we're sitting here talking about them being in the playoffs. Quite frankly, it's just insane.
You had to me a hilarious tweet that this Islanders team, what was it, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, was still being coached by Lane Lambert.
Oh yeah, it was like February, or it was like right before the stadium series. So yeah, it has to be like late February. Like Lane Lambert was like very recently the head coach of this team, which is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it doesn't feel real. Like it's just been such a roller coaster, you know. Like they fell all the way down with Lambert. You know, they blew the leads to Chicago and San Jose and the Rangers in the stadium series. Well, that was obviously not Lambert. That was Waugh's team, but. You know, there's shades of it all throughout the season. Then it's like, okay, after the stadium series, you go on a 6-game win streak and you're back up. And then you immediately go on a 6-game losing streak and now you're back down. And I think there were a few games in between there and this, but then you end the season 8-0-1. I mean, on March 28th or around the late March, they were, I think by Money Puck, they were at like 4.1% chance of making the playoffs, and they were 10 points back of Detroit, and they clawed their freaking way back.
What's crazy is, like, when we recorded that episode or like around that time, we went through what the rest of their schedule looked like, and it was bleak. We didn't think they would win more than 4 games.
Yeah, I mean, like, they beat the Panthers, they beat the Rangers, they beat the Predators, they beat the Devils, they beat the Penguins, they beat the Red Wings. I mean, no slouch of a schedule.
They're on a, I think the end of the season, they're on a 101 point pace under Wah. That's pretty good. I mean, you look at the division here. I mean, obviously it's totally different when you say like pace versus whatever, but like, if you look at the whole league, that's good enough for top 10. I mean, it's just outside the top 10. Toronto would be 10th at 102. So, you know, you add another win in there and you're in the top 10 pace under Wah. So, you know, something's working. I don't know what voodoo magic he has worked on this team, but all of a sudden, Kyle MacLean is a dog. He's a great NHL player. We have first line left wing Casey Cizikas, which it just, I don't know if I was talking to you about that or somebody else, but yeah, I was talking to you about that at the bar where I was talking about like, oh, Cizikas is on the first line left wing now, even though he's usually our fourth line center. And he's with Barzal and Horvat and it just works. And they're just getting goals. They're playing good defense. But I would also be remiss to, and well, before this, Engvall has been great. Lee, Pagiello both like had great second halves of the season. So the team is rejuvenated and I would be remiss to say without Semyon Varlamov, who's taken the crease. I mean, he's just been a dog. I think he ended the season.
He's been
like,
insane.
Yeah, like almost near a .930. I mean, you're going to win a lot of games like that. And he's going to start. He's going to start on Saturday, which is crazy to think about that he is our game one starter. But he's earned it, man.
Yeah, he's been on a tear. It's one of those things where he was a very big part in the Islanders are in the playoffs and their season didn't die like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they don't get here without two players and it's Varlamov and Kyle Palmieri who scored 30. I mean, Palmieri's been their best player under Wah for the last couple months. He's been an absolute dog.
30 goals. And, you know, I think I tweeted about it as well, but like, look at this core since 2020. I mean, you can count the 2019 team, but that was the first year under Trotz. You know, there were some weird players on that team, like Filppula and Komarov and all them. But let me pull up the tweet really quick. You look at the core of the Islanders since that time, which is, if I could find it super quick, gotta love a good old fashioned, so prepared as always. Did I delete that tweet? Damn, I might have. No way I did. Oh, here we go. Barzal, Pelech, Varlamov, Pulak, Nelson, Palmieri, Pageau, Lee, Dobson, Martin, Cizikas, Clutterbuck.
Without the COVID season where the Islanders got absolutely screwed with, 18 straight road games or whatever stupid number it was to start the season.
Then they played, like, three more with half their roster out for COVID.
If that doesn't happen, they were still pretty damn close to the playoffs that year. That would be six playoffs in a row for this core, including a couple of deep runs to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And I know, you know, 5 out of 6 is still great, obviously. I mean, you're going to have no complaints about that. But
this core has done it, man. I mean, you know, you're not putting up any banners for first-round exits, which there have been one of, which was last year against Carolina. But, like, you can say what you want, but, like, the core has gotten it done. Lamoriello, people are like, oh, he hasn't made a trade deadline acquisition in 3 years. It's because he does it before. He's gotten Horvat. He's gotten Pageau. He's gotten Palmieri. He traded for a huge piece of the defense, like Romanov, who was eating up 35 minutes a night when half of our defense was hurt earlier this year, basically single-handedly winning them games.
So I think the team deserves more credit than they're given by all the haters and losers online. And I'm not even saying, like, people of non-Islander fandom. I'm like, Islander fans, too, who are just so ridiculous in the replies of tweets and posts and everything that will have to be overdramatic. But look, maybe I'm too much of an optimist, but I think this team deserves its flowers.
If there's one thing you could say at the very minimum, that they did not quit this season. And that is, it's not an accomplishment. I don't want to say that because it sounds stupid because they have like 18 overtime losses and they won less than 40 games. But hey, man, they clawed to the playoffs. They showed some heart. They're in the playoffs. They won a divisional spot. Now they got a chance to make some noise. So I'm thrilled with it, to be honest. I think they have a bright future under Wah.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, with him at the helm, I think you're obviously going to see changes over the summer.
Definitely.
You're going to see guys not on the team anymore. It's just how business goes. But I think with what you saw out of this group, you gotta be optimistic and think if you make a few changes over the summer, you make a few trades, everything kind of opens up for the Islanders, and they can be a force to be reckoned with in the Metro. So
yeah,
a lot of heart and a lot of grit coming out of Long Island.
Yeah, and even this was in a year where Sorokin was pretty bad. For most of the year, he was pretty bad, especially the second half. I mean, Varlamov did great, but you know, if Sorokin gets back to that level where he was a near Vezina winner last year, then look, man, I have some hope. Do they have some holes to patch? Obviously. I mean, the team is far from perfect, but you know, they've shown a lot, and you know, they found a few gems along the way, like Kyle MacLean and Mike Riley, you know. I don't know. I think this team is in better shape than people give them credit for, and I think they could give the Hurricanes a series, which we'll obviously get into more later. But yeah, what a freaking wild season. I mean, it sounds so ridiculous that but everybody had them canceled two, three weeks ago. I mean, it was over. They were dead in the dirt. I can't believe it.
This to me, just like overall in general, this was like the best season of the NHL I think I've ever seen.
It was
like
pretty good.
Just top to bottom.
It was gut-wrenching for me for most of the year, but overall, like in terms of like everything that happened, it was pretty good year.
The dramatics of it were insane. You saw 200 assist seasons out of guys.
Almost a 70 goal scorer.
Almost a 70 goal scorer. The wild card race at the end of the season in the East was crazy.
We got to talk about that after this.
You had great outdoor games just all around. Like I thought the Stadium Series was a good game. The Winter Classic was a good game. I thought both Stadium Series games were good. Did anyone else play outside? Did Edmonton play outside this year? I thought they play.
They played the Heritage outside against Calgary because I think McDavid was like coming back from his injury at that point.
Yeah, I mean McDavid, who had 15 points in the first 20 games of the season, went on to have like over 130.
Yeah, and like Ovi, you know, he's chasing that down. I mean, like we had him dead in the dirt again. I mean, he had 8 goals,
31 fucking goals games. This season. Yeah,
31 goals. He's only 40 away from Gretzky. I mean, yeah, just an awesome season, and to cap it off with, like you said, that wild card race where, I mean, we were both locked into the different games. I mean, you had the blackout for Philly and Washington, which is ridiculous, by the way.
Insane. So stupid. Absolute fucking bullshit.
But, like, the fact that, you know, Detroit ties it up with 3 seconds to go, and then you flip back, and all of a sudden, Philly's got their their goalie pulled for an empty net with 3 minutes left because they got a win in regulation, even though they're tied 1-1. And if the Caps win, they're automatically in.
Yeah.
And Philly didn't need to do that in the end because Detroit got to overtime, but Torts didn't know. I mean, crazy. And then that one move knocks out Detroit, Pittsburgh, and the Flyers. It's just like insane. Also insane that Pittsburgh missed again. I mean, wild that Crosby, Malkin, Letang played all 82 games and they missed the playoffs. But just a crazy race.
Yeah, so two things here. First, about the race. What was like fun to watch as like for me was when everyone needed to win games and one team like needed to come out as like the winner or like the person to claim that wild card 2 spot, no one wanted to do it. It seemed like everyone was all 5 teams that were battling for it just kept losing games. No one was like pulling away in that race. And then it was like there needs to be a team, everyone's like, well, I want to be the team now, and everyone just started winning games all of a sudden. That was good theatrics. And about Pittsburgh, it's gonna be, I mean, we've said this a couple times, it's the dark days are looming over Pittsburgh. I mean, you just saw I'm pretty sure he came out and said it. It was rumored, but I'm pretty sure Jeff Carter's done. He's not coming back.
The Islanders found out apparently like during the game that it was Carter, so they shook his hand at the end of the game. And
I saw that.
All that stuff. But
you have to question, is Carlson going to be like, get me the fuck out of here? You have to question, are they going to trade Malkin? Are they going to trade Letang?
They run back one more year. But, like, yeah, I mean, in next year, like, it's a serious question. Like, how long does Sid have if not winning until he says, I want to be with Nate Dogg in Colorado? We always say it.
That would be insane. He will be immortalized in Pittsburgh forever.
Oh.
But there will probably be a portion, and it's going to be a very, very, very small portion of that fan base who, if he ever left Pittsburgh and played for another team, they would hate him forever.
I think it's 0.0001%.
It would be small. It'll be a really, really small percentage, but there will be some people in Pittsburgh, if he played for another team, they would hate him forever.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy. I think he did. I don't know. It would be weird to see him in another jersey, but, you know, the guy gave Pittsburgh 3 cups and top 10 all-time points.
He's like Brady. It's
5
like
concussions. Ooh, that's a good comparison. I like that. I mean, Sid isn't the GOAT, but, like, he's pretty damn close. He's about as close as you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. And then one last thing before the playoffs, we would be remiss to not mention they're going to be the Utah Venom Utah Hockey or Club. Blizzards Hockey Club. Got it. I hope it's not that. My God.
I saw that they had trademarked a few names. They're going to come out with the color scheme next week, but I had seen online that they weren't going to rush into a name and that they were thinking of maybe just going with Utah Hockey Club, Utah HC
for next season.
And then the year after come up with a name and a mascot and logo and all that stuff. Stupid.
But that's so stupid, but it's, I guess it's cool to see hockey in Utah. I mean, the arena, I saw a picture of it from a couple years ago in a hockey game. It really doesn't look much better than Mullet Arena, but it's fine.
They have a few more,
like, I think like 12,000 seats, which is still better, obviously, than the 5,000 at Mullet. But, like, man, it's crazy that the Coyotes are, like, dead. Like, they're done. I mean, I don't think he's going to be able to get a new arena in 5 years. I think it's going to be 10, 15, 20 years before we ever see the Coyotes again.
See, I think within the next 5 years, I think you do see the Coyotes come back. They're giving him a shot, like, within 5 years, if the owner wants to, if he can build a new arena and all that stuff, like, it's all on him. I think it's probably best, and at this point, like, you're getting such bad press. If the NHL can somehow convince him to sell just the entire franchise back to the NHL, and the NHL just, like, auctions it off to someone else, and you get a new owner I think that definitely helps your chances.
They've been striking out. All their last 4 owners have been garbage, so I don't know. It's so dicey. I don't think it happens soon. That's my guess, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just crazy that they're done. I mean, all these years, it's just been the Coyotes. Coyotes go, it's like, when are they going to move? And now it's like, poof. Within a week, they were gone. Insane.
Yeah, truly. What a scumbag owner to leave everything in their old stadium and then throw away the best player, the guy who kept your franchise alive for as long as he did. You threw his retirement banner in the trash, and some crazy nutbag fan heard you throwing shit away and found it.
And then 5 years later returns it. I mean, I can't believe they threw that Shane Doan's retirement banner out. That is insane. Insane. They don't deserve that owner. All their owners have sucked. I mean, I feel bad for their fans, but if they don't find a stable owner, like, they don't deserve to get a team back at this point, because it's just pathetic. But I feel bad for the fans. It was I watched the end of the game last night. It's always it's tough to see. You know, they brought everybody out on the ice. You know, these fans, they're never gonna get their team back. And, you know, they talk about all of the Coyotes' records are apparently staying with the Coyotes, and, like, Utah is gonna be, like, considered its new franchise, like, Vegas. So now it's like, if Clayton Keller, say, theoretically, Clayton Keller, he's probably played what, like, maybe 600 is a lot. No, he's drafted in 2015, I think, 2016. Let's just say Clayton Keller's played 500 games. And say he plays 500 more games for Utah, and then he retires early. It's like, does he not have, like, 1,000 games with one franchise? That's stupid. But whatever. I guess they don't want Shane Doan's legacy to be going down as a Utah HC member. The whole system is just
it's
crazy and messed up. But, you know, there'll be invisible strings attached between the two organizations forever. But rest in peace, the Coyotes. Good run, kind of. Not really. You had one good year.
Yeah, Keller has played 520 games. So
wow.
Pretty close.
Bomb.
I think what upsets me the most is like you finally got the Kachina back, and now the franchise is dead.
Bro, they're losing the best jerseys in the league. Even their OG red, great. Kachina, great. Those orange ones, the little lizard logo on their shoulder, so good. And we're losing it all for Utah HC with that's gonna say Utah across their chest. Embarrassing. Figure it out, Ryan Smith.
It's a tough look. But yeah, playoff talk. We got
oh baby.
Pretty much all the matchups are set for the most part. There are still that are pending.
Two of them, yeah. It depends if Vegas plays.
Yeah. Do you want to start in chronological order and in terms of like when the games are being played, at least for like the East, or do you want to just like how do you want to just go off the notes?
Or unless we do like Metro, Atlantic.
Yeah, let's just do that. All right, so we'll start with Rangers Caps. I think the Rangers will win the series.
I agree.
I don't think they will get knocked out in the first round. I'm like up in the air on what I want to and like how quick I think this ends. I think it. The douchebag in me wants to say five games because they'll probably lose one. The realist in me thinks it'll probably go six.
I was going to say six, yeah. Well, I think it's hard even for the best teams to close out a series in four or five. You really got to get hot. I mean, you know, Charlie Lindgren's a good goalie. It's the Winger brother battle, actually. I forgot about that, you know. Lingering could win him a game or two. I mean, you had him in fantasy. You saw what he did at the end of the year. I mean, he's been a dog. So
he's been nuts. But I think overall, like the Rangers just have a better team than the Caps. I think the Caps defensively have major issues. So
dude, they're playing their bottom pair is like Vincent Iorio and Ranger legend Dylan McIlwraith is on there somehow. I was watching
Dylan the Caps McIlrath.
Game. Oh, McIlrath, my bad. I was watching the Caps Flyers game, and I was like, my God, did they just say Dylan McIlrath? I was like, no way this guy is still in the league, playing in a crucial game.
Yeah, he was playing. He's been in their system for a while, but he's just been down in Hershey for, like, years.
I don't know how this team is in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think, like, they're going to need Ovi and Wilson and even, like Sonny Milano and Dylan Strome to really like drag this team to score goals. Yeah. Because defensively they're going to get picked apart, I think, and they're going to really need Charlie Lindgren to stand on his head.
It could be five. It could be five.
I would be genuinely shocked if the Rangers got bounced by the Caps.
I would be floored. But, hey, stranger things have happened, but I think it's not going to happen.
I think, like, I truly think if the Rangers were to lose this series, it would be a similar situation to, like, why Pittsburgh lost to the Rangers a couple years ago, in that both Igor and Quick somehow get hurt in between games.
Yeah.
You
never know, right?
And you have to call up Louis Domingue at that point.
Spicy pork.
Yeah. I got Rangers
in, I think that's all very six.
Moving over to Carolina Islanders, I'll let you start first. I think I know where you're going.
Look, I think if you do not have hope, you do not have anything else. So look, the Islanders took them to six last year, and the Islanders are a better team now. Is Carolina a better team with Jake Guentzel? Probably. They're also better as well. But look, the Islanders took them to six last year, and Horvat was garbage, and Romanov wasn't his best yet. And I don't know who – Mike Riley's been a good addition. Peugeot is not hurt this year so far. Knock on wood. He actually got hurt in the last game, so I actually hope he's okay. He left the game early, but maybe I shouldn't say that. And Dobson's hurt, so maybe this is a bigger problem than I thought. But you know what? If you don't have hope, you don't have anything, Islanders in seven. I'm going for it. I think it's – am I being incredibly dumb? Of course I am. But if we're realistically, like, I want to say Carolina in six or seven, but I'm gonna go the Islanders in seven. Maybe they scrap some out. You know, they play some good hard hockey. You know, they're on a 100-point pace under Waz. So as long as everybody is healthy, I'm very concerned about Peugeot leaving the last game early, and I'm also extremely concerned about Noah Dobson missing the last few games with a wrist injury, because their power play is just incapable of doing anything without Dobson. So
you're basically losing the special teams battle.
But if they're healthy, which I think they should be, I think Dobson's skating. I don't know if it was with pucks or without. I'll go Islanders in seven. However, I saw a funny tweet that said Brent Burns is going to score a stupid goal off like the Stanchion in like the first 2 minutes of game one, and then the Islanders are going to get like swept or losing five. And I'm like, I could also very well see that happening, because Carolina is just a bunch of voodoo against us, and they get the weirdest goals. And, you know, they're a good team, fantastic defensively, and they put so many pucks on that. And the Islanders got to stay out of the box, which they didn't do last year against them. So actually, the Islanders are the second least penalized team this year, which is kind of sick. But as long as they stay out of the box, don't give Carolina any excess power play opportunities, which is good that Scott Mayfield is not playing. I think they have a chance. You know, I think they're playing good hockey. I think they have a chance to take this to seven. And, you know, you never know what happens in game seven, right? So it's not going to be easy, but I think there's some sort of outside chance in me that's saying, you know what, maybe the Islanders got it. But I accept that you're probably going to disagree with me.
No, I mean, you make a very, very compelling argument. I have Carolina in six.
It's very valid.
I think they've been like, they were like neck and neck with the Rangers pretty much the entire year. Every time I watch them play, they're so fast.
It's a tough matchup.
And I think I lean them I don't want to say the Islanders are slow, just because I'm not watching them every single
night.
Much
slower than Carolina.
But yeah, I mean, just against Carolina, it's going to be a really fast paced game. You're going to need everyone to be moving. They're going to have quick legs.
Yeah.
Just like the fact that Carolina is just going to pepper Varlamov with shots the entire series is going to be it's going to be a huge bounces factor.
Bounces is, like you said, if you pepper them with shots, you know, you're going to get some weird bounces and goals go in. And you know, if Dobson's hurt, then your bottom pair is Aho and Bortuzzo, which is just not getting well against Carolina. So, yeah, I agree. The peppering of the shots is just a huge issue. But, you know, maybe part of me, the one thing I forgot to mention was maybe you can just start. I know he's been really good since he came back from his blood clot issue. I think that's what he had a problem with. But Freddie Anderson has been great. You know, maybe there's some – maybe get some cracks in the wall there. And maybe his start.
Yeah, I think if Carolina is going to lose, it's because of their goaltending. I don't think offensively or defensively they're gonna crack there. Yeah, in terms of goaltenders, yeah. If Anderson gets the starts, you have a shot there. So we'll see what happens.
And I mentioned the Islanders are the best team in the NHL over the last 10 games to end the season, but the second best team is the Hurricanes, and the best team in the NHL over the last 20 games and 30 games. It's the Carolina Hurricanes, so they're also been pretty damn good over the last little stretch. But we'll see. We will see.
Yeah. Moving on, we have Florida Tampa next. I think Florida wins in seven. I think that's the Battle of Florida. Seven. Love to see it.
It's going to be sick. I love these series. It might be the best for matchup, right? What do you think?
This is a really good first round matchup. I'm actually kind of,
yeah,
I'm now that I'm like thinking about it, I'm way happier that we got Florida Tampa as opposed to Florida Toronto.
Toronto. Yeah.
Way happier with that. I just think the way Florida plays and the way that their goaltending's going right now, I think they can probably beat Tampa Bay. But Tampa Bay is going to, I think, give them a really, really good fight. I could see this going to Tampa. But I just think it would be a big disappointment for Florida if they did lose in the first round. So I think they're going to want to show out. And, I mean, yeah, they've been a really, really good team.
Yeah,
pretty much the whole year as well.
Yeah, like you talk about team built for the playoffs. Like that's it's Florida, man. I don't know. I think with their goaltending, like I don't want to discredit Tampa, but with Vasilevskiy or anything. But Bob's been really good. I mean, I think it's going to be a close series. It's going to be a physical series, but I think Florida
very physical.
Yeah, say the least. I think Florida's depth is just a lot better, and I think their defense is a lot better. Like I just don't trust Tampa's depth anywhere because they have so much money tied up high. I'm looking Florida and six, but I think you're right and hit the nail on the head with everything you said.
Yeah, I think just with how both teams are, how they match up with each other, I could see Florida winning it in six, but I wouldn't be surprised if this went seven. And Tampa was giving Florida a series. Toronto, Boston, I'll let you start.
Another banger of a series. I'm so glad it worked out this way, like you said. This is going to be a close one, man. I don't know. They don't have Bergeron and Krejci anymore, which definitely scares me. But part of me thinks Boston just like they're scrappy. I think they're going to want revenge from last year. Their defense is really good. I don't know. I think Toronto prides themselves on offense. And it's going to be a real tough challenge to get past, you know, the likes of McAvoy and a couple and Lindholm and a couple of their defenders. And then once you get past him, you're running into Jeremy Swayman or Linus Allmark, both of which are just walls at the back of the net. So I'm going to take Boston in seven. I think that'd be a banger of a series, but I don't know. The center core Boston concerns me, but just something, I don't know. I'm trying not to be a Toronto hater, but like, the way Toronto's analytics seem to stray them in terms of like their defense, I don't know. I just think that like they're going to give up some goals, and I don't think they're going to score as many as they would on Boston as they would against another team. So that's what I'm going with, Boston in seven.
Yeah, I initially picked Toronto, and I'm probably going to stick with it. I have Toronto in seven. So
they could definitely win it.
I'm flipped on the other side. I think like, yeah, Toronto's goaltending is a big question mark when you compare it to Allmark and Swayman, because they've both been really good this year. I think Toronto defensively isn't great. I think this will be a really high scoring series. I think Boston's probably going to score a lot. Toronto has really good scorers in Matthews, Marner, Nylander, even Tavares. You can throw them in here. Nyes. They have good players. I don't know. Like now, because I'm second guessing myself, because I do think Toronto is much worse defensively than Boston, and that's probably like why Boston will ultimately win the series. But my gut tells me go with Toronto. I think they're going to want to continue to get out of the first round now that they've done it. We'll see what happens. I see their season kind of ending the same way it did last year. They beat Boston. What, they lose to Florida in the second round?
They beat Tampa and then lost to Florida, I think. Yeah, they had to have lost to Florida.
Oh, okay, you're right. Yeah, they played Tampa. So yeah, so they played. Yep. They beat Tampa and then they lost to Florida. So just to flip Tampa with Boston. I think they're going to beat Boston and then lose to Florida in the second round ultimately.
I'm also writing these down, surprisingly, so we actually have a record of after the first round.
Yeah, I have all my picks written down, so share with yours with me.
Our little note, but to the West. So this one isn't decided because technically, well, let me pull up the standings, right? Because both these teams play tonight, LA and Vegas. So LA is technically in the wild card, but there is a world where LA is 1 point back right now that LA beats Chicago tonight, which they probably will, and they jump Vegas, but Vegas would have to lose to Anaheim. So I'm assuming Vegas beats Anaheim and we get Dallas, LA is my assumption. I don't know if you agree with that, but.
For now, I just went with what the matchups look like now. I said Dallas versus the Kings.
Yeah.
Dallas in six if they play the Kings, but if they play the Knights, seven.
Fair. I'm going Dallas in five. I think they're just wagons, and I don't know. LA's just been so hit or miss this year. I feel like it's Cam Talbot as their goalie, right? It's been good, but like
He's going to need to stand on his head if they want to make like a if they want to get out of the first round. I think that's just
Dallas
like,
is given. Unbelievable.
Dallas, yeah, they're a phenomenal team. I think they could probably beat the Knights or the Kings in five. I think if they do play Vegas, though, I think that series goes the distance.
I agree with that.
And I ultimately think Dallas does get the upper hand on Vegas if Stone doesn't play, which I don't think. I think he's practicing, but I don't know if he's going to play. I think Hurdle, he's not ready for the playoffs yet.
he wasn't expecting that one.
Yeah. I just think like with the way a lot like there's been a lot of injuries on Vegas, I think that's going to come back to bite them. I don't think they can make a deep run with just a lot of guys coming back from injury, and just not being ready. There are some games where Vegas looks phenomenal, and other days where they are just like dragging ass and they don't look like they want to play, and they look tired. And I think ultimately you're going to get more of those games against Dallas if Vegas plays Dallas. Ultimately, whoever Dallas plays, I think they win.
It's a good point about Vegas. I mean, I think they're going to – I think they're also just going to want to win tonight because if I'm Vegas, like, I want to play Edmonton, not Dallas. So, yeah,
for sure.
But that was all.
Funny enough –
you said Dallas in six or five, sorry.
I have Dallas in six against the Kings, but seven against the Knights. It's funny enough, I think Witt, he wants to, I think he would rather play the Kings than the Knights, surprisingly. First matchup we had in the playoffs was Jets-Avs.
Yeah.
Might come as a shock. I got Jets in seven here. Connor Hellebuyck is the best goalie in the NHL. Colorado is fucking awful on the road, and they don't have home ice, so I think that's definitely going to play a huge factor. They're not great on the road. They have a really really good team, but I worry about their goaltending. I don't think Georgiev is the guy long term, and I think the Jets are. They have enough good players that can score and enough big guys defensively to shut the Avs down. That I think they ultimately come out on top.
Yeah,
100%. Like you said, the biggest concern I have is Georgiev. So I'm going Jets in seven as well. I hate betting against an eight dog, but and Rantanen and Makar, but like, oh man, the Jets concern me for sure.
But like,
I don't love their top six.
The thing about what you just said though is, outside of those three guys, Colorado, like their roster after that kind of sucks. Like Casey Mittelstadt is not Kadri. So like, their depth and their roster is just like, I think.
Yep.
It doesn't line up well with the Jets, and the Jets aren't going to score a ton. They don't have like a ton of great, great players outside of like Kyle Connor, but, and Scheifele, I guess. But yeah, like that really concerns me about, Colorado too. It's like outside of the dog and Rantanen and Makar, it's like, who the fuck is on, Colorado?
Yeah. I mean, well, now I'm thinking about Taves, but that's really all Taves too. I got. I mean, yeah, it's like, the Mittelstadt hasn't been great with them. I mean, he's still learning the ropes. The Johansson thing was a disaster. He's gone. I mean, Nichushkin's hit or miss. He's a good playoff player, but if he can stay out of trouble, Landeskog's not there. I don't know. I don't love the Jets. I think they're a second round exit. I think, ironically, I think Scheifele and Connor are very overrated. I think the Jets have good depth, but I just don't know if they're built for the playoffs. I think those two are just like not good defensively, and they're just not as big of competitors as they could be, is my take on those two, which might be off base, but I think from what I've seen, it's kind of accurate. But it's really, really hard. I think you feel the same way for me to bet Hellebuyck against Georgiev at this point.
Yeah, like, I mean, like,
it's just too good.
I'm going to look up Hellebuck's stats real quick, but Vancouver, Nashville, who do you got?
Vancouver, Nashville. This is a tough one, man. I'm going to take
before you go. Hold on. Hold on. We'll Hellebuck this year 37-19-4, 2.39 goals allowed, 9.21 save percentage. Oof. Yeah, he's been lights out this year.
He's insane.
He's it's going to be really hard to bet against them, against Carolina. But yeah, continue. Vancouver, Nashville. I think I heard. Were you going to say Nashville?
I feel stupid, but I think, look, man, they're hot, and I like Saros. I don't know, something about, there's always one weird team that gets through, right? I don't think it's going to be the Capitals. I don't think it's going to be the Kings. I think it could be Nashville, man. They're hot. They're well coached. I don't know. It seems stupid because like I said, you got Demko and Hughes and Pedersen, but Canucks haven't been that good since getting Lindholm. I think they'll turn it on a little bit, but I think Nashville's going to give them a series low-key. So I'll take Nashville in seven, but it would not surprise me if Vancouver won the series at all. So I'm taking a bit of a gamble just to try to say that I'm smart and right, but I'm not going to be surprised if I'm wrong. But in Barry, we trust.
You have a brother in arms.
Yeah, no way. Let's go.
Preds in fucking seven. Preds in fucking seven. Oh, my fucking dude. God.
Let's ride. We're big on the big creds, guys. Let's go. Let's go, Preds.
I Vancouver has that, like, and we talked about it. I think we were texting about it after the game on Saturday. Vancouver has cooled off significantly from like the hot start that they had at the beginning of the season. Where Nashville is the exact opposite. They were cool in the beginning of the season, and then ever since they didn't get to see you two at the Sphere,
dude, that did it.
Yeah, I mean, they've been like one of the best teams in the league. And yeah, I think this is one of those matchups where I think Vancouver leaves the playoffs in the first round, and I think a lot of people are going to be shocked that they've lost to the Nashville Predators. I think they are just clicking in all the right places right now. I think Vancouver is in for a really tough matchup, and I think a lot of people in Vancouver, and quite honestly, probably a lot of guys on that team, are pumped to be playing Nashville. And after a couple of games, they're going to be like, "Holy fuck, we are way in over our head against this team. They are much better than we thought they were going to be."
Yeah, especially playoff Saros. We've never really seen him before. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, I love that. I love the drain on that. Let's go.
Fucking rights. All right. So right now, Edmonton, Vegas, Golden Knights.
This is a tough one, man. I don't know about you, but I went back and forth.
I'm not even kidding. I'm looking at my notes. I took these notes earlier in the day. I have written down, this is the only series to me that I wasn't confident in going one way or another. I guess the only other series would be Toronto-Boston, but this is a coin flip series for me. I could see it going either way. Ultimately, I do think it's Vegas in seven if this matchup is – if this is the matchup we get. But if Edmonton plays the Kings, it's Edmonton in six. I think –
that's fair.
I think in both series, the Kings could at least walk away with two games if they're playing Dallas or if they're playing Edmonton. I just think they're going to surprisingly win. It's not going to be like a beautiful win. They're not going to get like a shutout and win like 3-0. It's going to be like a 1-1 game. They get like a deflection goal with like 2 minutes left, and they somehow just hold on because the opposing team has emptied the net and they're just pinched in their zone for 2 minutes. But I think it's truly a coin flip. I can see it going either way. If I had to pick, though, I gotta go with the Cup champs against Edmonton. I think they can beat Edmonton. I don't know if they can beat the Stars, which is how good the Stars are.
Yeah, the Stars are just nasty. No, that's valid. I don't know. You kind of scared me off with all your Vegas tiredness and injury talk. So I'm gonna go Edmonton in seven. I don't know. I just feel like you make a good point there, and I think McJesus just won't be denied. And Edmonton's playing good hockey. I mean, I think they're like 45 and 15 under Knobloch or however you say his name.
He's insane. We talked about it over the weekend, but I said it on the – I'm fucking recorded saying this, that whatever team he goes to, he's going to turn that franchise around, which is exactly what he did.
Yeah. I mean, they're firing all cylinders on him. I don't know. I think I'm going to go Edmonton 7, but I don't feel good about it. So that's – all right. So we got some – let's see. How many do we agree on? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. 5 out of 8. Pretty good. We got some different opinions in Isles Canes, Oilers Knights, and Bruins Toronto. So we'll see what happens. I'm pumped. If four of the series go to 7, like we think they're going, it's going to be a sick first round.
And I guess like the complaints that people have about the playoff structure now, but, and I was listening to a podcast talk about it. You do get some incredible, like the first round of the playoffs in the NHL playoffs, you're getting some of the best matchups you could possibly get in the first round. The where it gets boring is that second round. Like that second final. Round is like,
oh, I think it's like third, to be honest. But
the conference final is exciting because it's the conference final. It's like two of these four teams are going to the cup. And then the cup is always exciting to me. Like that second round, like I lose a little bit of that juice just because I'm like,
yeah,
because you see,
it could always be a wild card
for me. It's
team.
Like you see really good teams get eliminated in the first round, and you're like, as much as I'd love to see Nashville get out of this first round, I'm like, oh, Nashville's in the second round and they got to play fucking the Edmonton or whoever. You know, it's like, oh man, like
it's tough. I get what the NHL does. It's like you're guaranteeing, you know, the fresh. Everybody's pumped for the playoffs, and you get rivalry games right off the bat. You know, you're getting Rangers versus the Caps and Wilson. You're getting the Hurricanes and Islanders who have history. You're getting, Boston, Toronto, and Florida, Tampa, which are perfect matchups. Like, the NHL obviously wants to drive those rivalries, but you're right. It does kind of get a little dicey down the road. So,
also, kudos to the NHL this year. Staggered starts.
I love it.
Throughout the playoffs.
I love it.
Both like Saturday, you got a 5 o'clock Islanders game that's going to bleed right into the 8 o'clock Boston Toronto game. So from 5 to 10:30, even 11 o'clock, you're watching hockey. And then the same,
you probably got a Western game after that, I would assume.
That would be great. And then then Sunday you got a 12:30 game in Tampa, Florida, and then immediately. It's going to bleed into Rangers Caps, which is going to probably into a Western game. And that's the other reason why I love the first round, because it's the most games you get. Like you can sit down and watch like 10 hours of hockey. And if it's great if you have something to root for, because you're rooting for your team to win the ultimate trophy in pretty much all sports. But also, if you don't have anything to root for, you're just watching insane games.
Yeah, I mean it's electric. I agree. I kind of like it. I think those are all. I mean it's so right. And for people who want to expand the playoffs, you're just wrong. This is perfect. 16 is perfect.
Yeah, but, Gary, you might have hit the nail on the head with this one. But
hype, playoff hockey, baby, nothing better.
We will be back probably. We might do weekly. Yeah, we'll probably start doing weekly playoffs.
Probably.
thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, all that good stuff. Leave us a 5-star rating. Write us a nice review. Follow us on Twitter at From Broad to Bell. I don't know if I'm going to do it yet. I got to see, but I might be bringing back.
Bring them back.
The third period live streams might be coming back. And I'm hoping. I have to see how things play out. I really have to see how things play out. I might, very, very thin chance right now, I might be able to go see Rangers Caps in DC if Jake can get the hookup. But if not, in May, I will be in DC, hopefully watching Rangers in the second and or third round.
Love it.
So yeah, stay tuned for that. And I'll keep you guys in the loop with the third period live streams. Make sure if you join, just tap the fucking screen.
Bring him back.
Kevin, you got anything else?
Let's go Isles, baby. Isles in seven. Never in doubt. 16 wins, baby. That's all we need.
All you need is 16, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace.